Welcome to the Saving Grace Adventist Church Sermon Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed by the Word of God.
Father, we come to you today. As we open your words, we pray, O God, that we will also open our hearts and in anticipation, we wait now for your voice to speak directly to us. In Jesus' name we pray. I want to thank you again for being here today. Today, I want to talk to you on the subject, when the rain falls. When the rain falls. And let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 7. And Jesus here, for those of you who have your Bible, the paper one, the paper Bible, all right, you will notice that the material is in red. It means that these are the direct words of Jesus. Verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man. What kind of man is it now? Wise man. Which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth and saith the sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man. What kind of man is he? Foolish man or a foolish person. Which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Where Jesus told this parable was in Palestine. Palestine is naturally a land of hills and mountains. And as a result, it is subject, oh yes, to torrential rains and furious floods. The Jordan River annually swells to dangerous levels and became a place of danger by furious floods. The streams that run through the hills came suddenly swollen whenever it rained. And it spilled tremendous amount of water onto the plains below. It would sweep everything in its path. Houses that were erected within its reach were suddenly devastated with the deluge, especially those founded on sand or other unreliable foundations. The rising stream shook the houses to their foundation and erodes away its base until it falls. Rocks at the same time were common. However, not everyone would build their house upon the rock. Why? It was absolutely much easier to erect a house upon the sand. And so Jesus was preaching. And what we see here is that he had preached his best sermon anyone could hope for. But after he was finished preaching, the question was, and so what? When the preacher preaches, so what? After all, merely hearing the word can be dangerous business if it is not accompanied by doing. And that's why Jesus says, blessed is the one that hear the word and do it, these sayings of mine. And so the Pharisees, they were there gathered in their ostentatiousness. And they were listening intently. But instead of doing, Jesus became an object of ridicule. Here we have a compact and instructive presentation from Jesus. In this parable, he uses the parable of the wise and foolish builders. Why did he do that? This is his purpose. To illustrate, and so this parable is intended to illustrate two kinds of people, both of whom pay at least some attention to what Jesus is saying. And so the context of this parable is that of a true disciple. On the one hand, and on the other hand, a foolish disciple. Now, the core message here is that every believer is a builder. What is the core message? Every believer is a what? Builder. Whether you have a plan or not, you're a builder. It is foolish business to build without a plan. And that is why we have to get a plan. It's costing us a lot of money to put the plan together. But building without a plan is like a convict who has himself as his own attorney. And he who has himself as his own attorney is a fool. So, every believer is a builder. But not every believer is a wise builder. Some builders build just for this life, while others build for this life and build for the life to come. There is a perennial philosophy. And within this philosophical teaching, there is a great controversy that rages in institutions of higher learning. There are those who believe and teach that everything is reducible to mere material substance. And that is what some scientists say, that everything that is in this world is reduced to mere material substance. Thus, one does not focus on all his energy and all his attention and the things of life, because it will reduce just to gas. Now, we are building as believers not just for today. We are building for eternity. Amen. What are we building for, church? We are building for what? Eternity. You know, I learned many years ago that true education means more than the pursual of a prescribed course of study. It means more than the preparation for the life that is now is. It has to do with the harmonious development of the mental, the physical, and the spiritual faculties. It prepares the student for the joy of service in this world and for the higher joy of wider service in the world to come. And all of us are students in the great school of God Himself, where Jesus Christ is the master didaskalos, from the word didactic, which means to teach. Yes, here we find that we are building not just for today, but we are building for eternity. Now, we're going to spend a little time here as we look at this parable here, a little more. Now, Jesus here, he compares and contrasts the things of nature to illustrate his message. And so, first we see here in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 to 20, we see two trees. The good tree producing good fruit, but the bad tree produces bad fruit. Then next, we see the contrast of two claims of true discipleship. The false disciple, yes, and the true disciple. And then Jesus says here, in verse 21 to 23, not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom. But, you see the but there? The but is like an hinges that swings you into a different thought. It says, but. He who doeth the will of my Father in heaven will enter. Those who enter the kingdom of God are those who do the will of God. Finally here, Jesus comes to the conclusion of his Sermon on the Mount. To reinforce his message, he uses a more powerful illustration than he used before. It is the parable of the two builders, Matthew 7, 21 to 28. This parable illustrates the beautiful benefit of obeying the word of God and building our lives on those divine principles in the word of God. It also illustrates the sure ruin that faces those who refuse to follow the Word of God and build their lives on the shallow, hollow material of this world. In this parable of Jesus, we see some very important words. Let's pay attention to them. Number one, you see the word rock. Rock. Rock is a symbol of stability. Rock is a symbol of what? Stability. Then we see the word foundation. There is no building that can be erected without a foundation. Then we see here wise builders, foolish builders. Then we see rain and we see storm. These are the material that make up life. The material that make up life. And so in the message we see here, these terms, let's see if we can look at them here. The first one is, let's take the foolish builder. Christ says that the foolish builder built his house upon what? Sand. Christ knew that some building or would be easily erected and some type of soil. And then some builders would be attracted to a ready prepared level surface of sand rather than a site that must be excavated, must be dug, rock must be blasted, rugged rocks, hard foundation. It is not easy to erect any building on rock. It is easier to put a building on sand because it is there, it is level already. Human nature often chose, often chose the easiest way. We look for easy surface, easy way of life. But after the seasonal flood, representing trials and test and hardship, such a building would have nothing left but a heap of sand, of ruin. It is not easy to live the Christian life. It is hard business. Taking the easy way out in anything doesn't work most of the time. Most of the time. Many times, seemingly good people appear to build their lives well and wisely in terms of money, material possession, friends. Oh, yes, all these things seem good to the human mind. But their end can be disastrous without a rock type foundation. This is the one that Christ calls a foolish builder. So, that's the first builder. The second builder, Jesus calls a person who hears and obeys his word, a person who builds his house on the rock. You know? There are different type of rocks though, you know. Yeah. Different types of rock. Therefore, Jesus says, whosoever hear these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man. Are you wise? Are you otherwise? Here Jesus then describes this wise man as building his house on the rock. Now some rocks are limestone rock. So even when it is rock, you have to look for the best type of rock. Some rocks are made from magma that are not really strong. Other rocks are made from a type of material that is not easily broken. Yes. Wise builder build upon the hard rock. Here Jesus describes this wise man as building his house on the rock. Conversely, the disobedient one uses inferior material as the foundation of his house. It is not enough to hear the word of God. You must follow his teaching. God's word must be followed. They must be inculcated in our lives. They must be riveted in our hearts. They must be influenced. They must influence our behavior. They must guide our action in everything we do in life. Oh yes. Luke describes the wise builder as digging. Matthew doesn't include this. But Luke says that the wise builder is digging deeply and laying the foundation on a rock. You cannot be a surface builder. If you are a surface builder, your life will not last long. It will frazzle out. You will fail and you will fall because there is nothing to underpin or to undergird your life. Jesus Christ is the rock of ages. So now let us go to the rock of ages, the rock. The rock on which we build here is Christ. That is the message I want you to get here. The rock on which we build represents Jesus Christ. Am I right? Very good. So in the parable, Christ teaches us the importance of doing as well as hearing. You hear, but you must also do. But you know, sometimes I would feel a little bitter. I'm not God, but you know, that's how I feel sometimes. You know, when my children were young and I was growing them, and I was telling them things and they wouldn't do what I say sometimes. I say, if I had the power to make you, I would only give you 1 ear. So that when I tell you anything, it doesn't come out through this one. But it would go right down inside of you and it would be there. But is that just the ears? It's the willingness to obey. And so, in the parable, Christ teaches us of doing. In his description of the two builders, he judges them. He judges them. Not only by their care in building their houses, but also by the foundation on which it is built. A rock-like foundation represents true understanding and a right action. true conviction and commitment manifested in righteousness. Only in obedience and dedication to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, the rock, can we find emotional stability, spiritual strength, oh yes, and physical endurance, without which even our most, oh yes, dedicated pursuit and purposes rest on the shifting, sinking sand of life. And in Psalm 18 and verse 2, Jesus says here, "The Lord is my rock." What does the psalmist say? "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my savior. My God is my rock. In him I find protection. He is my shield, the power that saved me and my place of safety." Then he says, "God is my rock." What a strong rock. Then in Matthew 7 verse 24, he says, "Therefore, if anyone hear these words of mine and put them into practice, is like a wise man building his house upon a rock. The word of God is the solid rock." Luke 6 and verse 48 says, "He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when a flood occurs, the torrent burst against the house and could not shake it, because it had been well built." And a life of obedience to the word of God and the principles govern his kingdom is the foundation that is built on the rock. Now, my friend and brother, Elder Knight, is a man who put up expensive fence. And he has to dig the hole to put in the pipe sometime, PVC pipe, iron. And I've never asked Elder Knight, but I know how he thinks sometimes. When he goes to dig the hole to put down those pipes to put in the fence, I'm almost sure that he doesn't like the hard places, because the work is too much to dig out the concrete. I remember he was putting up a little fence around the back there for us, and the concrete, you know, was raised a little like this, and he said, "Pastor, if I put the last bottom piece of material in the ground, it's not going to be flat." So I said, "Elder Knight, you have to dig down the concrete." He said, "Pastor, it's hard to dig it down." I said, "You have to dig it down." You remember that conversation, Elder Knight? He said, so he would put it on it, and then it would lean this way. I say, "It can't work." He said, "But Pastor, I have to get a machine to dig it down." I said, "Whatever it costs, dig it down." He doesn't like the hard digging. But let me tell you something. You and I, who are going to make it in life, we have to make sure that we go for that which is best. Amen. All the time. Excellence should be your hallmark. So, Jesus says that you have to dig it deep and lay the foundation. Oh, yes. So a life of obedience to the word of God and the principles governing his kingdom, that is the foundation that we build on. And that foundation is Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 10 and 11, hear what Paul says here. By the grace of God. Now, if you're going to build, you're not going to build by yourself. You're not going to build on your own. You're not going to follow your own plan. But you're going to use the word of God in building your life. It says, by the grace of God, or through the grace of God. Oh, yes. So by the grace of God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, excellent builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds. So, those of us who have grown our children, we have tried to lay good moral foundation. And there are five principles that governed my family. I'm not going to tell you all of them, but one of them was, apart from love and kindness and commitment and accountability, one of them was education. And they knew very well how mommy and daddy. And we never took anything on the surface. As a Christian, are you one of those Christians? You see, anything that is not built in the rock is shaky. Shaky, no prominence or permanence. Shaky. Every little wind come, blow it, it moves. Every little wind of doctrine that come to some people in the church, it moves them. And people would come to me and say, Pastor, have you heard about this new thing here? I have nothing wrong about new thing, because we should be learning every day. But whatever that new thing is, it must be grounded in the word of God. Amen. Grounded. Yes. Now, what is the difference between the wise builder and the foolish builder? What's the difference? The difference is in the foundation. Difference in the foundation. Here we find that one life was built on a sure and solid foundation, while another was built on a sifting foundation. Jesus says, the house which stood the test of time illustrates a life built upon the foundation of obeying the word of God. A life like this endures forever, while the other life is washed away into eternal ruin. How are you building? Now, what about the sand? As I come to close here, we need to look at the sand. The sand represents empty preference and mere external religion based on false knowledge. The sand reflects the sifting and certain feeling some foolish people possess. The only ground upon which they act is emotional ground. You cannot allow your emotion to determine your action. Then here we find the second house. Even though most impressive, stand and sifting foundation. And therefore, it is doomed to destruction. People whose resolve is to do God's work find strength in prayer and in the purpose of godly living. People who have virtues without roots live in dangerous position. The Pharisees build their hopes and their houses and eternal blessings and privileges, which alienated their minds from the rock, who is Jesus Christ. I want to say to you today, you need to build on the rock and not on the sand. And so the Jews say, oh, we don't want Jesus. We don't want his teaching. We have Abraham as our father. Abraham was a human being. And to build your life on Abraham would be a total disaster. Now, my subject today is when the rains fall. So here we have the rains, the storm. When Christ says the rain descended, he compares the time of testing to the forces of rainstorm threatening the roof of our houses with fear and trepidation. Oh, the floods came. This picture, presents turbulent storm that undermines our very existence. This wind blew, and it was blowing. It depicts sweeping hurricane-like winds threatening the house, overturn it, to destroy it, its wall. The wind blew. Oh, yes. These combined natural forces remind us that spiritual elements try to test our spiritual house just as God, oh, yes, tested and punished Israel. Sometimes these forces come in different ways and in different kinds. Oh, yes, persecution, suffering, temptation, all of these go to test us. You know, I don't know what is testing you at this time. But you need to understand that in every good manufacturing company, there has to be a department that is called quality control. What is it called? Quality control. And every motor vehicle that is manufactured and put on the road, it has to go through rigorous testing to make sure that it is ready for the road. What is the storm in your life now? When the rain falls, sometimes it brings sickness. In pain, it empties your pocket and leaves you penniless. But can you stand? The wind blew. Can you stand? And so these natural forces in our lives remind us that spiritual elements are also tested. Oh yes. Our foundation must be tested. Our belief must be tested. Christ describes the disaster of descending on the house built on the sand. He says, great was its falling. By doing so, he reminds us to avoid a similar end. Foolish builders should heed his warning and build on a solid foundation. That foundation is Jesus Christ. The storm fell. Now, I wanted to notice this. That the force of the storm was equal on both houses. It's not that the house on the rock got a stronger storm than the one on the sun got a weak storm. They were all the same in intensity and proportion. You know, in the field of engineering, there is a study in surveying. It is called quantum surveying. Or if you can study engineering to be a quantum surveyor. What it means is that you have to be a good mathematician, not like me. You have to be able to master every branch of mathematics. Because this is what the quantum surveyor does. If you tell him that if he's going to build a bridge out there, he has to calculate. First of all, he has to determine what weight this bridge is going to carry. You understand what I'm saying? That's the first thing. What is the weight that this bridge is going to carry? So after they determine what weight the bridge is going to carry, they have to go through and work out what type of steel, what type of concrete mixture, and all the other things that will go with it to determine the strength of the bridge to hold the weight that they want it to hold. Now, Jesus is a quantum surveyor. He has worked out in the minutest detail all the strength that you will need to carry on each day. And then what Jesus does now, he goes and he provides the power and the strength equal to the temptation that you will get. And because he worked out that so carefully, there is no temptation that faces us that God cannot provide the strength for us to endure. So Jesus is a quantum surveyor. He's a what? Quantum surveyor. Quantum from quantity? Right. Do you believe that he can help you to go on? Let me tell you something. If the rain has not yet started to fall in your life, you have to be prepared because it's going to come. You know, as I see, and I'm going to be a little personal. Preacher can be a little personal sometimes. I see Sister Gray here. And we buried her husband a couple of weeks ago. At some point, when they were living their lives together, he was a strong man. A healthy man, a hard-working man, and a good man. But then sickness came. And I remember the last time I saw Pastor Gray before I saw him when he was sick. I was talking to him, And he told me, I'm going to go to Jamaica to teach. And I asked him, you're going to go? He said, yes, I'm going to teach for the university. He said, all right, I wish you all the best as you go. He went to Jamaica. And then the next time I saw him was when he was at home, sick. And his wife was there taking care of him. You know, when I went to that house and I saw Pastor Gray there sick, you know, I left that house with one resolve in my heart. That when I go back home, the only thing I would not do for my wife, if I wash her feet, I wouldn't drink the water. I would do everything for her. Because I said to myself, one of these days, I'm here in this pulpit preaching to all these people, and I've pastored everywhere, but when it comes to those days, it's just probably my wife alone, and my children, to take care of me. So when the rain begins to fall, there are some things nobody else can find a shelter for you for except Jesus. And one of these days, it's become even more conscious in my mind nowadays, because I soon retire. Getting an old man now. And one of these days, I'm going to go to a church. I don't know if it's going to be this one or any other one. And the brethren will have a send-off for me. And they will probably give me a little package to carry home. And then they will take the church key for me. And when they take the church key for me, I will tell them goodbye and go through the door. And I go home. It will be my wife and myself. What will it be like? The only thing that's going to help me after that is that my life is built on Jesus Christ. So in your life, remember now that as you live, build good foundation. Treat people well. Love one another. Be kind. Some of you're going up the ladder, you know. You're going up, but remember now that when you're coming down, you're going to pass some young people going up. And if they don't clear the way for you, you're going to drop off the ladder. Be kind. Speak good of people. Don't crucify them with your language. Oh, and beguile them with your tongue. Build good, decent life. Love your children and your family, your neighbors, even those who don't love you, love them. And I'm saying to you married people here today, take care of one another.
Amen.
Oh, yes. Take care of each other. And fight and quarrel. May God help us as we build. Brother and sister Pamal, care each other. I mean everybody else, you know. We built our life. My final text for you today is this, as I close, Isaiah 28:16. Therefore, 16, Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I am placing a foundation stone in Jerusalem. Firm and tested stone. It is a precious cornerstone that is safe to build on. Whosoever believes need never be shaken. Today, my brothers and sisters, as I close, I'm asking you, by God's grace, what I'm saying to you today is simply this. Make sure that you place your life in the hand of God and trust Him. And all that you do, make it be above board. Those of you who have business, don't rob anybody. Those of you who work for somebody, put in the full hours and do your best. Don't rob anybody. You know, I read a story some time ago of a rich man. Had money, lots of it. Probably like Bill Gates. And he and his wife were going on vacation to Italy. He bought a lovely piece of property. And he decided that he was going to build his dream house on it. And he had a brother-in-law, his wife's brother, who was a good builder. He called his brother-in-law, gave him all the specification, and told him to put up this building. He stayed away a long time in Italy because he had money. Then he came back. But before he came back, his brother-in-law was putting up this building. And he decided that he would cut corners. You know, cut corners? Where he must put 5/8 steel, he put 1/2 steel. Make stretch the cement. And put the mixture, weaken it, and put up the building. But then, when it came to the finishing of the building, it was so beautiful, well painted, beautiful. And when the man came back from Italy, he was so pleased to see the building. But even the foundation was weak. Because he didn't do a good job, because he wanted to save the money. When his brother-in-law came back and saw the building, he was so fascinated by it. But he's a man with money. He said, man, you're my brother-in-law. You've done an excellent job. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give you this building. And then I'm going to build one for myself. He gave the man the key for the building and said, take this one. Can you imagine what went through his mind? If I had known that my brother-in-law was going to give me this building, I would even double up where I was supposed. I would double the material. But it was too late. Oh God, help us today to make sure that we are grounded in you, the Rock of Ages. We are all builders. We must not build for time. Let us all build for eternity. Amen. May God bless you today.